We take it to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr., boxing's PhD. Sir, I'm on a bit of a roll today. How are you?
I see you, brother. I see you. Put some butter on it. You're on a roll.
No, you know, here's what's up. Traffic was crazy today, and of course, we're recording this for both Twitch.tv and the Veeve channel, WBC TV. So I didn't come with the camera today. So I kicked back in front of them. I'm showing up in the studio like an hour early, and I don't have the camera with me. So I go to walk in and see myself. Did I miss something? I looked down at my bag. No camera. So I had to go back home, which is about 10, 15 miles away. Bottom line is, I'm here. I'm ready to rock. No prep. Let's talk. Of course, let's give Gervonta Davis a bit of a grade last week. I said C plus, B minus. Am I being too critical?
Not really. I mean, you and I both thought that Cruz was going to be overmatched. And, yeah, I mean, we thought it was going to be abuse, but we were both wrong. Isaac Cruz was more than a respectable opponent. I even saw on social media some people, boxing people, not just fans, that thought that Cruz won more rounds than Tank Davis. You know, so it was not a great performance. Now, yes, Tank supposedly hurt his hand. I haven't heard if it was any structural damage to his hand about midway through. But Gervonta Davis, if you really stop and analyze, hasn't looked great since he destroyed Pedraza. You know, I had said last week, he kind of fights like a lazy fighter that just relies on his punching power. And Isaac Cruz, you know, he wasn't there to pick up a paycheck. And on the contrary, he buzzed Tank a couple of times in that fight. And he's lucky that he was a guy that was coming up in weight, you know. So props to Isaac Cruz. I don't think he necessarily won. I think it could have even been a draw. You know, I only saw it once live. I haven't rewatched it. But it wasn't a great performance by Tank Davis at all.
Am I wrong to call Leo Santa Cruz a midget as far as size was concerned against Gervonta Davis, Davis being a 35-pounder and Leo Santa Cruz being a 26-pounder, a 22-pounder?
Well, didn't he win the world title at 118?
Went something, I mean, like that, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a midget, no, because I think he's taller than Tank, but then again, not too much.
I meant in size, I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. I mean, look, Tank was expected to do more last week, you know, bottom line. And Leo, you know, Leo had a great career. You know, he may be a Hall of Famer if he hangs him up. He hasn't fought since, you know, got put to sleep.
A friend of mine saw him about 6 months ago here in San Francisco, uh-huh, being a tourist before the cable cars were running again, but he was a tourist here in the city by the bay. So let's talk about the other performance of the other WBC lightweight champion. I talk about Mr. Devin Haney, still undefeated, still from the city of San Francisco, but yet you can't find more people know who I am, and nobody knows who I am in San Francisco than they know who he is. How can you be a world champion from the city by the bay of San Francisco and not a single person, not a single soul knows who you are here?
It's hard, man. I mean, I'm not going to say anything shocking. You know, unless you have some sort of Olympic pedigree, you know, or they paint you as a villain, Black American fighters don't sell tickets. They just don't, you know, and the fan base is not as fervent, you know, as it is for other nationalities, point blank. You know, that's just the bottom line. And is it Devin Haney's fault? Maybe if he fought in a more exciting style, you know, maybe if he was knocking people out like Tank Davis, who's in the same demographic, he would have a bigger following. Maybe if he had a promoter, I believe Devin Haney's kind of like his own promoter, and then he just uses Eddie Hearn, you know, to matchmake and whatnot. But, you know, it's just is what it is. Devin Haney definitely is the low man on the totem pole.
The father is involved with Devin Haney. Another father in the corner. You know, this father in the corner, as far as father in the corner is concerned, this year has been a flop. I mean, I can't think of a more inept job in the corner than Teofimo Lopez Sr. Can you?
No, absolutely not. He definitely earned the Turkey of the Year award. However, the one difference between Bill Haney and Mr. Lopez is that Bill seems to be a little bit more open-minded. He had Ben Davis in the corner, you know, so I'm assuming he's got a smaller ego and he's able to, you know, bring in other people. You never want to be the smartest guy in the room. So I don't think we necessarily.
I do.
Hate. What do you mean?
I always wanted to be the smartest dude in the room. I always wanted. That's my problem. That's my problem. I hang around with too many smart people. Anyway, you like you, a boxing's PhD. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide, of course, to WBC TV as well, coming to you on Veev TV. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the show if you're joining us for the very first time today. Can I say welcome? Of course, we've been here a while. Can I say 37, make that 38 plus years now. Straight up, this is Ring Talk live worldwide. More with boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, after, of course, tonight, Vasyl Lomachenko, the ex-king, the pound-for-pound king of boxing. Of course, that one loss to Teofimo Lopez, was that a fluke? We'll find out against Matt Moore when he fights Richard Comey tonight. Of course, that and Ring Talk Live World continues after the break. I wish I might make you my all-star, shining bright. I know I can feel it.
This time is real. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let's get out of this hot sun into a nice cool bar.
In a few minutes, honey.
Check out the World Boxing Council's website, their interactive website, WBCboxing.com. Of course, Mauricio Sulaiman, the president of the World Boxing Council, got an array of stuff there. I mean, everything from diets to training to boxing results to upcoming fights, the whole nine yards. It is available at WBCboxing.com. Now, the odds probably couldn't be higher for Vasyl Lomachenko tonight if he were to lose. Of course, that would be two fights in a row. And to Richard Comey, of course, the fighter who's always been a formidable foe, no doubt about that. But when it comes to cracking that big egg and becoming a world champion, I don't think Comey's been there yet. I don't think he'll be there as far as his future is concerned. But he's the perfect opponent for this guy. Why? Because I think he's going to stand there and be a bit stiff. Now, for that, we bring in boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. Is Richard Comey the perfect opponent for Vasyl Lomachenko?
Stylistically, yes. And more so, I like Richard. You know, he's a New Yorker, Bronxite, like myself, native of Ghana. But I don't know if Richard has that fire. You know, I think he's a really nice guy. And you saw that at the press conference and some, you know, the interactions between the two, both classy fighters. Richard needs to leave his nice guy hat at home. Or in the locker room, at least.
I don't think he's got the tiger in him. He's more of a boxer than a fighter. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah. And he's been in there with some great competition. Obviously, you know, Teofimo Lopez. He has a great win against Ray Beltran. He lost a close decision to Robert Easter. He's been in there, you know, with big-time fighters, you know. He's got to get over the hump. I don't think it happens tonight. I think if to use the eye of the tiger cliche, Vasyl Lomachenko still has the eye of the tiger, and he seems like a very pissed off eye of the tiger. He may run through Richard Comey. He just may be too much, as we know there's levels in boxing. I think Richard's a game opponent. I think he's going to have his moments, but I think Lomachenko's just going to overwhelm him. I don't see him stopping Comey, because I don't think I don't feel that Lomachenko has that one knockout power. I think he kind of just overwhelms people.
Sock, what he does is he beats you up and he makes your corner quit for you. That's the spirit. I've never seen anybody do that. I remember a couple times looking over and seeing guys quit on me or corner stop a fight. You wouldn't believe the rush that is. When it's just called like that. But, you know, now that we look at the big picture right now, as far as the big picture is concerned, I mean, you know, Jake Paul was making cracks this week. Is Jake Paul a boxing star? Somebody asked me to ask you that. Is Jake Paul a boxing star?
He's a pay-per-view star, I'll tell you that much. You know, I think he's a, you know, hey, you know what? He's a novelty. We know this. Is he going to ever win a world title? I don't think so. But then again, it's boxing, you know. But no, I mean, Jake Paul, I'm one of the few people that actually think he's good for boxing. Because, you know, any attention is kind of good, especially when, you know, we are a niche sport at this point in this country. He's good for the sport, you know. He's fighting guys that he's supposed to beat, you know. He's got the rematch with Tyron Woodley, which actually could be the best thing that happened because, you know, Fury flaking out is a real bad look, and he probably was going to get beat.
Time out. Did he get hit in the ribs with bare fists by somebody? Tommy Fury. Is that why he pulled out?
Is that what you're hearing? I have no idea.
I saw the old man Fury was on some website saying, yeah, he goes, somebody hit him in the ribs with somebody in training was trying to show him something and hit him in the ribs with a bare fist. I mean, that sounds pretty lame. He accused a trainer of doing that. Anyway, enough of that.
It's very smart, isn't it?
What can I say? Let's talk about the heavyweight situation for a minute. It looks like the WBC is going to mandate Dillian White and Tyson Fury. Is Dillian White a road bump, a bump in the road for Tyson Fury? Is he a real threat?
I think he's only a real threat if Tyson Fury doesn't see him as a threat. You know, we kind of get the hot and cold of Tyson Fury sometimes. Like when he fought Otto Wallin, he wasn't at his best. You know, so, but if anyone is style wise tailor made for Tyson Fury, it's Dillian White. Dillian White is slow. He's got slow feet. He's easy to hit. Tyson Fury could close his eyes and hit Dillian White, you know, from his stool, you know, with the reach. And he's just not a good defensive fighter. We've seen Dillian White get knocked into orbit, as he did against
Povetkin.
You know, so he's tailor made. And, you know, Dillian White deserves his shot. You know, he's been the number one contender, I believe, for about a year now, a calendar year. So he deserves his shot. You know, does he have what it takes to beat Tyson Fury? It's going to have to be the best performance in his life, and it's going to have to be the worst performance in Tyson Fury's life.
The Charlo brothers, all I hear is noise from these guys. The 54-pounder, he's like an asterisk to me, but the 160-pounder, because he's undefeated, I want to see what he can do, and I want to see him against the upper echelon at 160, 168 pounds. But they do a lot of talking. I mean, as far as talking champions, Curran, that champion at 160 pounds, Charlo, seems to be the champion talker of them all now.
He's a pump faker. That's all they are. You know, they're pump fakers. They talk a big game. They've made decent money, and I guess they're happy. There's been a lot of fights that could have been made. I personally think him and Andre would be a great fight. But sooner or later, you get old and you're wasting your career. You know, it's almost becoming like Gary Russell. You know, the calendar only moves forward.
Time out. You've got to tell people Gary Russell was an accomplished fighter. We've only seen him like twice in the past 5 years.
Yeah, and he's still a world champ. You know,
Let's not even go there on that one. What a good way to describe the Charlos be, they're studio gangsters. They try to be tough guys, but they're really any tough guys in the studio?
Wow. Yeah. You know what? It's becoming that way. You know, I mean, now from what I understand, the younger brother's fighting the rematch with Castaño, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Their first fight was really good, you know, but the 160, you know, he's got something to prove. You know, he really does. I mean, his career has kind of stagnated. You know, we're waiting for that signature performance or even a signature opponent, but they're stuck in that PBC world, you know, that they kind of like, it's kind of incestual. Like what's out there for him? You know, they're going to have to step out of that box, you know, to find a dance partner.
Do the boxing writers of America, did they bet on Teofimo Lopez to beat George Kambosos?
I don't think they bet. I don't think.
Wait, they bet their entire show on it.
Yeah. It's timing is everything in life. Oh. Huh? I think whoever's in charge of that should probably make it a little later in the year. You know, I mean, I don't know what the rush is. Look, Teofimo Lopez had a great run, and I guess he earned, you know, their award.
I was actually
surprised that he was there in person to pick it up.
Not only that, he made a speech. His father made a speech. I mean, these guys are like Laurel and Hardy, two clowns.
Yeah. Sometimes less is more. I wonder if they're going to be at the fight tonight. I'm assuming. I mean, since they're in New York, you know, they're going to be at the fight tonight. I hope someone does not put a camera in front of them. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting because, you know, the father all of a sudden now is sucking up to the birthday boy, Bob Arum.
Happy birthday to Bob Arum. He turned 90 this week. Of course, he's CEO of top-ranked boxing, former U.S. attorney under the administration of John F. Kennedy back in 1960.
Wow.
Graduated top of his class. I can't remember what they call it, cum laude or something like that, at Harvard in 1958.
Wow.
I know the background on Bob. Master Bob has been a master manipulator in boxing, but he's been sort of like the man. You got to call him a survivor. Don King says he's still going, but I don't see much coming out of Don King yet. Bob Arum's putting on shows every week.
Yeah, he still has a passion, you know, for it at 90. I mean, you know, blessings to him. I hope that when I'm 90, I still have that spirit to leave my living room.
But he's dropping more F-bombs than he did when we were together without the tape on.
He has definitely gotten saltier with time. Yes, he has zero filter at all.
No, you know, Don King, looks like Don King has won a purse bid for the Brian and Char fight. We'll probably talk about that next week. Bottom line is, not a great week, I think, for the lightweights because of the fact Kambosos looked so good going in. These guys had to look good or better, and they didn't.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, like I said, George is the pretty girl to dance. You know, he's the man. He's the lineal champ, and he has earned the right to choose who he wants next. If I was betting, I think he fights the winner of tonight in Australia. I think neither guy would have a problem jumping on a plane, especially not Lomachenko, you know, and it could be a real historic night. Yeah, I think.
I want a guy that's going to bring some money. Lomachenko doesn't bring any. He doesn't bring enough money for me. And he's too much threat. Not enough money. I'll say this in less than 10 seconds. The bottom line is he's not going to turn the pay-per-view crank. That's why he's not going to.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, let's see. I'm sure they're banking on the big house money, on the big house gate.
So. Yeah, but you
got... Nito's in their fights tonight. Let's not forget about that. And more.
I'll talk about it in depth. Anyway, bottom line is your boy Andrade won last week. All the best to you, Socrates Palmer. Good week. Say hello to Sebastian. Give him a big kiss and a hug from the Ring Talk crew.
I definitely will, Uncle Pedro.
Okay.
All the best. Enjoy the fights.
Sebastian is, of course, he's like the newest addition to the family. He's like 13 months old now. I think he's 13 months old. Bottom line is, I think he's a little over a year, but the bottom line is he's got a few teeth now. We hear him in the background on different shows. We love him. Bottom line is he's part of the family. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing. More after the break.